Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in Southern Cross, I am talking to AUT Pacific Media Centre's reporters, Rahul Bhattarai and Sri Krishnamurti. We talk about the centre's news stories and issues being covered on Asia Pacific Report, as per usual. Topics include the crackdown on the press freedom in Nepal by the government, with the new legal codes being introduced in the Nepalese constitution. By far the biggest protests against President Duterte,
yes,
of the Philippines on the nation's 46th anniversary of martial law, and Sri is here to update us about the pre-elections mood in Fiji. Rahul, beginning with you, last week Nepal celebrated the third anniversary of its new constitution. However, there are new codes that have been passed recently which suppresses the media freedom in the country and is threatening the medical profession. What are the changes?
Okay, so now the two laws are civil code and criminal code. They have sort of introduced this on 17th of August after replacing the 55-year-old laws. Now, basically, this law, as for a few of the lawyers that I spoke to, they said that this was more refiner version of the law that was already in the Constitution. Mm. Now, in the Constitution, these laws sort of more makes it clear about cyber law, privacy law, and defamation law. Now, in the Constitution, they already had these laws. However, it was not very separated and it was not very clear. So people weren't following it through as much as they should have. Now, looking at some of the lawyers, they say that this is a very good law, but the way the government has implemented this is not the way to do so. One of the examples is, for example, if somebody were to be defamed, instead of going through a proper channel, government was using them to prosecute them straight away. So, for example, in New Zealand, if we cross or if we do not meet the broadcast expectations, whether in print or in radio or TV, there is authority that we go through, like a BSA, I think, for broadcast, mm-hmm, isn't it? Broadcast and authority.
Yeah.
Yes, but there the government was intervening and they were just straight prosecuting the person, including,
yes,
imprisoning them.
Mm. Also, doctors recently went on strike. What was that about?
Oh, it was the same thing regarding to the privacy law as well. So there are a few things that's been happening to the doctors. One, about the privacy, they're not allowed to disclose patients' details to someone else, which is fair enough, standard.
Mm.
The other one was if the patient dies while in operation theatre. So this law was more to protect the patient and the doctors in terms of negligence by the doctors. But for example, if somebody were to die in an operation theatre and if the person's friend or relative were to sort of place forward a grievance against them, instead of having a proper investigation, the moment they pressed charges, well, they went to the police, mm, about it, the police or the government would sort of take the doctors into custody. And I think doctors would be in prison for at least 3 months until the investigation was started. And that is not the right channel to do so either. The investigation has to start. The doctor will have to give their side of view. I mean, mm, obviously it's good that this will sort of minimize doctors' negligence, but however, this is also putting doctors or other medical professionals into enormous amount of pressure because, the patient could have died for a genuine cause and they're just being sort of tortured for no reason, you see?
But shouldn't they be under like a reasonable amount of pressure considering they are dealing with people's
There
lives?
Should be, but they cannot just be imprisoned without even having the opportunity to speak up for themselves.
So they're not getting that opportunity.
They're not. So I complain about someone close to me who died on in a prison theater,
mm,
without understanding what's going on, immediately the doctor would be in custody and then the investigation would start.
Oh yes. So are there plans for what's going to happen in the future?
Yes, the plans have already been started. I think the government have spoken to the press council and the medical professionals and they have sort of implemented they've come to conclusion, they've started to compromise in a lot of things. So journalists are still not happy. The problem started here is when the government, fear of the people, they implemented the law without consulting the stakeholders like doctors and journalists, because those are the people who are being heavily affected by this law.
Mm.
Now, because doctors went on protest, Journalist Association of Nepal, they went on protest as well. The Federation of Nepali Journalists, they went on protest as well. And now I think they have sort of started to think about how to minimize this and how to sort of implement the law in a better way.
So moving on, September the 21st was the date that the dictator Marcos declared martial law in the Philippines 46 years ago. Mm-hmm. Filipinos have demonstrated with by far the largest protest against their heavy-handed and outspoken president, Duterte, who has extended martial law in the south of the country mm-hmm. until the 31st of December 2018. Discontent seems to be growing against the elected president. Why is that?
Now, the thing is with Duterte, he has a history of killing people.
Mm.
Now, he has killed many people in the name of drug control and war against drugs. Not only that, he's killing the drug sellers, dealers, he's also killing the low-time users.
Mm.
And in the name of this war against drug, he has killed thousands of people so far. And also the other thing is on... Duterte himself was the first person to be the president of Philippines from the Mindanao region of Philippines. And in that place, what he did was he started to brand volunteer teachers as terrorists and started using military in order to capture the mines and slaughter the rainforest in that part of the country.
So he's doing that to teachers. Is that because teachers are speaking against him?
Yeah, teachers are speaking against him. Because when he rose from that region, he said that he was going to help the people there.
Mm.
But he's not helping. He's doing exactly opposite of what he said he was going to do.
Mm.
So that's one of the reasons. That happened start of this year when I interviewed a couple of people who came from the Philippines. And at the moment, we can see that he has been... sort of cracking down on other people, anybody who is against him. He sort of attacks them either verbally or even by throwing them in jail.
Mm.
And also, on 20th or 21st of September, on the anniversary of the martial law, that was the first time, by far the biggest protest against the president inside Philippines, and also people overseas, they protested against him.
Wow.
So we can see his popularity sort of declining quite rapidly at this point.
So does that mean, is there a thought that he will last as president? Or
look, this is going to be very interesting. If you had asked me this few months ago, I would say probably he would last. But now his opponents are coming in a lot more stronger. And like I said before, this is the biggest protest. So if this carries on, then the chances of his presidency may not be... he may not last, but again, who knows?
Sri, you have just arrived back from Fiji last week, and it was originally planned by the Pacific Media Centre for you to cover the general election, but the date is still not set, so you reported on some more pre-election issues. Would you tell us a little bit about what the atmosphere in Fiji is like?
The atmosphere in Fiji is very muted, and conversations are held behind closed doors, as you can see, and conversations are very, very forthright and open when they're held behind closed doors. But nobody is speaking openly, except for politicians, and that seems to be a phony war, as much as a phony election, until they give a date for the elections.
Will the Prime Minister, do you think, will still remain Prime Minister after the election?
Yes, because he had in 2014 he had 60% of the vote, so it's expected that he will retain government, although. Biyon Prasad thinks he's going to win 10 seats from the National Federation Party, and Sithivini Rumbuko from the Sadilpa Party, which is Social Liberal Democrat Party, thinks he's going to win 28 seats. And so it makes it really interesting. The longer it goes, the more intrigue it poses.
Was sort of the mood in Fiji that people still want him to remain as Prime Minister despite holding off the election and everything going on?
Generally, that's an overwhelming feeling I got.
Mm.
They seem to be happy for sustainability to return and yearning for sustainability and for peace. And that seems to be the overriding feeling.
Fiji First has already announced their lineup for the elections, but there is still no date for the election itself. How does that work?
Well, that works because Parliament must be dissolved by October 14th at the latest. And the elections can be held 45 days after, and that the final date for the elections is 21st of November. And as Bandaranaike has said, we will have the elections before 21st of November. I think it's going to be after Harry and Meghan Markle go there, because the feel-good factor, you can't rule out the full feel-good factor for Fiji.
And people are excited about Harry and Meghan Markle,
yeah, they
right?
are. Yeah? Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. I will just, yeah.
That was the Southern Cross.